go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
That would be actually Scott Twin Turbo Top Hat.
Wow.
Benjamin.
Twin Turbo Top Hat.
And you'll like this one, bro. I am Ben Flying Nuclear Sub Bolin.
Wow.
Yeah, these nicknames come to us courtesy of Jeff from the internet. And we just wanted to shout those out. We'll get to his email in detail, maybe in a later episode or in this episode. But those names are so cool. Great. We had to say them right now.
Great names. I've already forgotten mine.
Twin Turbo Top Hat.
Okay, good. Very good. All right.
Triple TH.
All right. Flying car makes sense for you.
Yeah, flying nuclear sub even.
That's true, yeah.
But I wanted to throw in those acronyms because some people may have seen an acronym thrown about before. Mm-hmm. I don't know. How do you want to go at this? Do you want to do anecdote or do you want to jump right in?
Oh, no. Blatant. Let's go right for it because I think a lot of people are familiar with this. And the ones that aren't, I think
they should be.
Yeah, they do better to learn something about this because this is one of the pitfalls that a lot of new car buyers fall into or used car buyers fall into.
Mm-hmm.
It's the difference between just buying a car, the sticker price,
yeah,
and what's called the total cost of ownership, or sometimes it may be called the true cost to own.
Mm-hmm.
And it's abbreviated TCO.
Not
TCOB, which is
taking care of business. Are you sick of me making that joke?
No.
I've been constantly doing that to you over the past week.
You know, just TCB, I think. I've never heard the O thrown in there, but I guess it works for our purposes.
Yeah, I'm just being ridiculous.
TCB with a flash. That's Elvis. Really? Yeah, really. Look it up. You'll find it.
I actually did Google that. Mm-hmm. You were right. Not to say I didn't believe you, because one thing I've noticed, you're usually on the money, man.
It's the thing is, like, you can. There's a lot of outlandish stories about Elvis, so you could pretty much say anything, and they may believe it.
So here we go. Outlandish. That's a good place to start, because for the people who don't know about TCO, this may seem weird. They would say, okay, total cost of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people would guess, all right, that means maybe what I pay for my car initially, whether it's new or used.
Yep.
And then add to that, of course, taxes, maybe cost of registration they think about, maybe maintenance. But there's a lot more
that goes into it. Yeah, there's actually six. It depends on which list you look at. Some may combine a couple of these categories, but there's six or seven categories. I believe we've got an article on our website about this. Mm-hmm. It's called, quite simply, what cars have the lowest cost of ownership? And I believe in our article we say six because we combine a couple of these.
Yes. Okay.
I'm going to run down a list of what they look at really when they're determining true cost to own or total cost of ownership, either one. We'll just stick with one of those. I'll say TCO from this point.
Okay, all TCO. Right.
And honestly, you can go to a place like Edmunds. You can go to IntelliSource. You can go to a lot of different places to find information about TCO. So you can try like automotive.com. Any of those places will have this list, and you can even have there's even calculators, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But so what Edmunds uses to calculate true cost to own is it's a set of assumptions on their part. Okay.
Oh, wait. We should say this.
Mm-hmm.
Difference between TCO and initial cost of purchase is that TCO is over a span of time.
It is over a span of time.
We forgot to say that.
No, it's covered in this list, but it's over 5 years. That's okay.
I didn't mean to run over the list.
You know your stuff.
Oh, thanks.
That's all. It's over 5 years. So you're talking about not just what you're going to get hit for immediately, because that's significant also, even in a used car purchase. New car, of course, but used car, there's more than what you think. So I'll just run down this quick list here, and the assumptions that Edmunds makes when they're calculating true cost to own, and that's pretty much across the board. All these are really, really similar. Okay.
Okay.
They're saying that they're estimated for a 5-year period, so like we mentioned, or like you mentioned. It's 15,000 miles per year is assumed, which is the national average at this point, I believe. It went up from 12,000 not long ago, but it's 15 now. And that you're financing the vehicle using a traditional method, not like lease financing through the dealership or through their credit agency. Okay. The next thing is that you are in the what's called the gold credit tier, which means you have excellent credit. So if, when you're determining the finance rate for the car, let's say you go to the bank and your credit isn't all that great, they're going to give you a higher percentage rate than if you have excellent credit. And we're going on the basis that you have excellent credit. Okay.
Okay.
Also that you're making, now this is a number that I see variance in, that you're making a 10% down payment on the vehicle at the time of purchase, okay?
Okay.
So no matter what the cost of the car is, we're assuming 10% down. Mm-hmm. I've seen numbers as high as 15% down. And a lot of people, I mean, you probably know this, a lot of these, it's 0% down.
Oh, yeah, that's the deal.
That's the draw, yeah. That's, yeah. 0% down and, make your first payment and you're on your way. And that's a whole different thing. We'll talk about that some other time.
Maybe that's a different episode.
Okay, so we mentioned, they said a 5-year period, but just to clarify, your loan term is 60 months, okay?
Okay.
So that's a 5-year loan. Not all that uncommon. A lot of people do it for 4 or 3.
Sure.
But really, 5-year, I believe, is one of the more common loan terms for a vehicle.
It's kind of an industry standard.
It is, I think. And you also find that this also represents the average demographic for insurance premiums, okay? So you're in the insurance average, whatever that happens to be, the age demographic, the location, wherever that happens to be. So all those factors, I think that's 7 actually right there. I mentioned 7, but in our article, we combine maintenance and repair. That's 1.
Yeah,
for us.
That makes sense.
Okay. And if you look at these broken down, I'll just go through them real quickly here.
Sure.
And then we'll get into some examples. Depreciation, that's a big one. So a new car, 46% of your total cost of ownership is depreciation over the 5 years.
Which is, just in case anybody's wondering, is the largest.
Yes.
Cost of ownership.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, some go as high as 65%.
Are you serious?
65%.
Because 46 was the number I got, and I understood that to be a general average.
Yeah. No, it goes up. I mean, there's some that you can buy, and the moment you drive them off the lot, they lose X number of dollars. It's not 65% immediately.
Yeah.
This is a progressive scale over the next 5 years. So, I've got an example here that we're going to, share in a moment. But,
sure.
It's over time. So it's 5 years. This amount the first year, this amount the second year, et cetera. Okay.
Scott, you might as well buy a boat with the depreciation's.
Yes, that's
60%.
I know it. And then fuel, okay, these are just, again, the averages. And and you'll notice one other thing. You're going to notice that these don't add up to 100%, okay? And the reason is because it's an average based on each one, and it's not going to come out exactly to 100, okay?
All right.
Got it? So
yeah.
If you're keeping track at home, that's what's going on. So, we've got a number already that's 46% or 65%.
Yeah.
The next one, fuel. Fuel is one that you may pay as much as 26%.
Mm-hmm.
That's average,
mm-hmm.
the price of the vehicle. And that's for total cost of ownership over the 5 years. Interest, now this is one that varies greatly. But again, it's assuming a 5-year loan, 15% down, and a 6.4% interest rate, which is it's ballpark for what you're going to pay right now. So 6.4%, that's about 12% of your average over the 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Insurance. That's a big one, but again, you have to go on age, location, driving record,
right.
Make, model a car, that type of thing, options that you have, the safety features that it does or does not have. The average is around 11% for this.
And that's for Jane and Joe Schmo average.
Yep, that's exactly right. And then if you want maintenance and repair, which we combine into one, that's about, and surprisingly low, about 4% of TCO.
Can I take the last one?
Yeah, go right ahead.
And 3%. For your favorite uncle, Uncle Sam.
Sales tax. Yeah.
Which is interesting because you would think, I'm wondering, this number here, does it come from just sales tax or does it also accrue any other sort of governmental expenses, like license fees? Or
licensing, registration, that type of thing. I'm not sure if that's included in that number or not. I would think that it would have to be.
Only place it would go.
Now, 3% doesn't sound like a whole lot for sales tax, though. So I wonder if that's that's a national average, I guess, because there's some states that have none, other states that have 8, 9, whatever it happens to be. All right, so I guess –
let's do an. Do we have an example? Maybe?
Yeah, we've got some examples. But I just want to get this across that this is not this we're not talking about the sticker price here.
No, we are not talking about the MSRP.
This is what draws people in. They get excited that, you know, there's that new car for $12,000 that you can get, right? But you don't remember everything that you're going to pay over the next 5 years during the term of that loan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the loan cost, because most people understand that. I pay interest on that, sure.
Sure.
But all of the other factors that we talked about, they really add up. I mean, it's not insignificant at all.
Oh, yeah. This is not chump change, because I've got – I think I see where you're going with this, and stop me if I steal your thunder here.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go ahead and take the example of somebody buying a $12,000 car.
Okay.
And they decide, so they buy let's say a $12,000 car, lightly used, certified pre-owned, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
And in the lot, in the same place, there's another car, similar condition, different model, different make. $15,000. So it's $3,000 difference on the initial purchase.
Okay.
Both, let's just say they're both sedans.
Okay.
Now I don't have an example pre-cooked here, but I think you see what I'm getting at, because that $12,000, as you say, is just the upfront payment. The back end, the 5 year back end could actually end up, if we're right, costing, let's say it cost, $7,000. Over 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's say that the car that is originally $15,000 cost, $5,000 over 5 years.
Ah.
And eventually, you know, it's a wash. You're paying for the same.
Well, yeah, you are. But the example you just mentioned, I think it's $1,000 less even.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay. So it's $1,000 less because you balanced out the, Yeah. Okay. So I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
If you look at the cars just based on sticker price, you're doing yourself a disservice. You need to really dig into what the cost of ownership over 5 years will be over the term of the loan. Now, if you're paying cash for the car, mm-hmm. that's totally different.
That's absolutely different.
That's completely different. Now, a lot of people do that too. They save up and they just buy the car outright. It's not all that common, but it does happen. Okay.
I'd love to do it one day.
I'm not one to do that, but, it happens. I know I've heard of people that have done this before, of course. On every level too. I mean, it depends on, you know, where you are financially.
I think I bought my first car from my dad
yeah.
for a dollar so that we could transfer the title.
I did that one time. Yeah. With a friend's family. Yeah.
I paid cash for a car.
You did. Look
at me, man.
Look at you. Well, a full dollar. You know what? My first car cost, I think it was like $1,100, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, this is the late 80s, mid 80s. I financed it because, you know, I was a high school kid and I was making nothing. I think it was probably a caddy at the time or working at the movie theater or
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bunch of bad jobs. a long string of them, as a matter of fact. So,
I think that's why we get along.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, I got fired from tape. I told you that, right?
Because of the non-adhesive. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. You remember.
Yeah, I do. I remember. The thing is, like, I financed that, even that small amount, and over the term of whatever that amount was, you know, it wasn't very long. You know, it was a couple mm-hmm. of years maybe. But, I ended up paying more for the vehicle because of that. Probably a significant amount more. And
probably,
as you can imagine,
first time loan applicant, no credit history.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. I mean, you had your parents co-sign for you and
sure.
that type of thing, but,
We've all been there.
You get hit with a high interest rate and, you know, mm-hmm. Et cetera. It just builds up. But I mean, what I want to tell people is that there are online calculators for all this. Okay. So it's not as difficult as you may think to find this out. This is really, really simple. The problem is that, the new car, this isn't a problem with the new cars. The new cars, the calculators tend to go back about 3 years. And the reason is it's the year you're in, the year prior, just in case you're getting one of those, you know, leftover on the dealer lot type
right.
cars, and the next year. So like this year, you'd find 2009, 10, and 11 in a new car calculator, okay?
Okay.
On a used car calculator, it only goes back 5 years.
Really?
Yeah. So I was only able to dig up information on 2005 and above, up to current year.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because I was looking up examples for us.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to hand you this now. Okay.
Oh no.
And
I'm getting paperwork, everybody.
Yeah, there's paperwork, and you know, don't look at this one yet. Put that on the bottom.
Which one am I not looking at?
The one I just handed you. Put it on the bottom. Okay. Glad that was so visual for everybody. Okay, now looking on top here, I've calculated our own personal vehicles. Okay, if we were to buy these as used cars right now. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So you actually have a 2004 Chevy Impala, or I'm sorry, Chevy Monte Carlo,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
I have it down as a 2005 because I couldn't find any earlier.
All Fair right? enough.
And just quickly, since no one can see this chart that we're looking at,
sure.
they can easily go to Edmunds. TCO calculator, and you'll be able to do the exact same thing and see what we're talking about. But mm-hmm. it gives you a really clearly laid out chart of how much that vehicle costs total. A true cost to own number, a total cash price if you want to just buy the car outright at this point.
Yeah.
And the average cost per mile, which I thought was pretty interesting too. You know, it's one of those, just an added feature that, you know, is great to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gives you totals for year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in every category that I mentioned, including depreciation. And that's even on a used car, Ben. That's on a used car, the depreciation too. So it's not just new cars.
Yeah.
Maintenance, repairs, financing, et cetera. So just real quickly, Ben, your car right now, if you were to purchase it outright, it would cost you about $8,707. Okay.
And if I paid cash.
If you paid cash.
Showed up with that backpack.
So if you had $8,700, yeah. you would be done, wipe your hands. You know, you'd still have insurance and things like that to pay, but not the true cost to own. You see the true cost to own number?
Yeah, I do. That's if you've been wondering and you're listening, you're wondering why as soon as you heard Scott hand me this paper, I was muttering yeah. under my breath.
He's been stinging ever since I handed it to him.
I really am.
Yeah.
That's a surprise.
It's
man.
A significant number. Go ahead and tell him what it is. It's, now remember, $8,707 to just buy it outright.
Yeah. And if you buy it outright, and if you are, again, as we said, a gold credit rating member, the super average person for insurance purposes, mm-hmm. this vehicle will have a TCO of $27,241. Man, come on. This is the first time I've ever felt bad about this car.
Isn't that, no, don't feel bad because, I've got, let's get to it in a second here. I'm getting ahead of myself, but
you're
honestly,
preening, dude. You're so happy.
No, I'm not. The thing is, okay, that $8,707, that's just the purchase price, okay?
Right.
You also have to look at the 5-year total for the insurance number. And this is assuming that you financed it. So.
Sure.
I guess that goes away, right? That number goes away.
Yeah, yeah.
You still have to look at the depreciation number. You still have to look mm-hmm. at the fuel number.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to look at the maintenance and repairs and insurance. So it does take away the taxes and fees. It takes away the financing, of course. So really it doesn't come down all that much.
No,
so you can still feel good about that.
The two biggest costs, as we see here again clearly, are depreciation and fuel.
Yeah, fuel is a big one on that one. You got a thirsty engine.
Yeah, I have a thirsty car.
A thirsty engine. Okay, so, but don't feel too bad about it because now I've got a 2005 Honda Civic. Okay?
That's true. Oh, so this one is, yep.
And it's valued at right now at $9,000 almost exactly. But the true cost to own is $25,655 on a $9,000 car. So if I went to a used car lot and I saw that $9,000 price, I might think that's a good deal.
Yeah.
And I'd say that's great, but I wouldn't realize that maybe if I hadn't done this, I wouldn't realize that over 5 years it's going to cost me almost $26,000 to own that car,
mm-hmm.
which is significant. And that's the thing. You got to remember that you have to have the income or the ability to pay for that for the next few years.
Over time, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And if you buy a car and it looks pretty and, you know, it's a nice car, it's the most you can afford though.
Yeah.
And you put it away, you put it in the garage, you might not be able to afford to drive that thing. You might not be able to afford the insurance that's required.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be able to afford the maintenance that's required.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all that's on a scale that, you know, it's a fair scale. I mean, you can see that maintenance numbers go up over time.
Yeah.
You get the highest in year 4. Fuel cost, that remains pretty much constant. Taxes and fees, those actually go down.
Yes.
Because the initial hit you're taking is a sales tax, I think.
Yep.
Depreciation actually goes down.
Gradually
goes down, yeah. Repairs,
repairs
maintenance.
Trend up.
They do trend up. And the financing, that goes down, of course, because you're paying less and less interest on the loan is over mm-hmm. the 5 years. The insurance amount, that remains pretty constant.
Yeah.
Maybe up a little bit. And that's
give
just,
or take up a
yeah,
little.
Just, so again, $26,000. Now that's a 34 cent cost per mile vehicle. So we're talking about a difference of only 2 cents between yours and mine.
Yeah.
But it all adds up. It really does. Now, just for fun.
Just for fun.
Just for fun. Take a look at the last page.
Okay. I'm taking a look at the last page.
And I hope I'm not losing anybody. And this is really something if I know it's numbers and charts and everything, and that's difficult to follow. But if you go online to Edmunds and you do this search yourself, you'll be able to find what your car amounts to. Mm-hmm. And you'll be shocked at the true cost owned chart that shows up, you know, the 5-year chart.
Yeah. It's relatively simple. You don't have to have that much information for this calculation.
No, not at all, really. And now I did this just for fun with a new car. So let's say you got your eye on that 2011 Chevy Camaro SS.
Oh, get out of my head. The black one with the yellow flames?
Exactly.
That's
okay.
The one.
Now it has a purchase price of $41,154. That's MSRP. That's an average. Cash price, okay?
And for rock star podcasters like you and I, that's a pittance.
Really?
You know?
Really. I may have that much sitting in the change thing of my car.
I think, because you got all those ancient coins.
Yeah, it's that's right, doubloons and things like that.
Okay, so which is, you know, of course, this being a brand new car.
Yeah.
This being a car that is known relatively reliable, you know, $41,000 is not – unheard of.
No, and we're talking about a performance car.
Right.
So this is the top end. It's not the RS model. This is the SS model, the 2 SS model.
Yep.
So it's a great big thirsty 8-cylinder, huge engine, real powerful, great looks, brand new car, you know. Mm-hmm. Very hot car right now, okay?
Yeah.
The true cost to own is really $52,458 on this vehicle. Now, that's over 5 years. That's still significant. That's an additional $11,000. I don't know if maybe you've accounted for that. Maybe you haven't. I just did it for fun, just to see what it was. But the cost per mile is 70 cents a mile, which is double what your car and my car is to own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because it's a used car, and you know it's not quite as thirsty in the gas range. And
$11,000 for gas.
But I want to show you something. The depreciation on this car.
Oh,
is,
wow, yep.
The depreciation is huge.
Mm-hmm.
The first year, you're paying $5,500 in just depreciation.
And when we say that, we say that you are paying it because we mean the vehicle is losing that value.
It's lost $5,500 in the first year.
But you're still paying that car note.
Exactly. But you are getting to drive
Camaro
SS.
Well, there's that, yeah.
Over the 5 years, you're paying almost $20,000 in depreciation on that car. Okay? That's a significant hit right there.
Yeah, for some people, that's your starting salary.
And it does go down. I mean, over 5 years, it's $5,000, $4,000, $3,000, $3,000, and then almost $3,000 for the fifth year. So that's a lot of depreciation going on there. And you know what? To be honest and to be fair about this, the amount of depreciation on that vehicle, I'm looking at the scale here that Edmunds gives. There's a 0 to 10 on the cost rating. It's right in the middle, so it's neither really bad nor really good.
That's like an average.
Yeah, so imagine one that depreciates significantly more than that. What you would be losing.
So in the first, let's get this straight.
Mm-hmm.
Within the first 3 years, you lose over $10,000.
Yes,
in depreciation alone.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty significant.
So then is it a smarter idea over the 5 years to purchase a 2011 model in 2012 or in 2013 even?
I don't know. You know what? Beauty of the calculators. You go in and you just fill all this stuff out and you figure out what's the best deal for you.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the point, part of the point we're making here is that listeners who have checked out our podcast about the hybrids, remember when we did the show about how much money you actually do save with a hybrid?
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of the same thing, because when we calculate these things, buying a car, no matter who you are, mm-hmm. buying a car should be a big decision. Even if you are entirely a collector, you know, and you just purchase cars for your collection.
Yeah.
You should definitely think about this. I mean, I wonder what it would be like if we had these calculators going back to, you know, 1940 or something.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, but you know, the funny thing about collector cars is, though, some of them become more valuable.
Yeah, they and then reappreciate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. See, the depreciation thing may not be there. It may be appreciating.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like a classic Corvette, a 60s vet.
Yeah.
They're coming up in value, and they do consistently over the years, it seems like. I mean, there may have been some times when they dropped off, but you know, that's the weird thing about these cars is like how many are available, mm-hmm. how rare are the options on this car. You know, it's very, very specific to each vehicle, so it's worthwhile to look into it and figure out what exactly you're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
And one other quick thing here, Ben.
Yeah.
I'm going to just throw this out there. This is – I'm looking at the numbers now, and the total cost, the total cash price is $41,154, right?
Yes.
All right. Then the true cost to own is $52,458.
Yeah.
Okay. That is, I mean, that's $93,500 and some dollars over 5 years. Is that right? Because this is a 5 year total for, you know, look at the yearly totals on depreciation, taxes and fees, fuel. That's not the initial purchase price.
Okay.
So honestly, you know, when you look back, I mean, just so that we're clear on this to everybody.
Yes.
This car over 5 years is going to cost you $90,000. If you follow the maintenance, if you fall into the gold credit score, if you fall into the right insurance range, if you have good credit, if you, you know, it's on and on. So our cars, you know, that are $27,000 to own and $25,000 to own, you can go ahead and add in the total cash price to that as well. You know, we said let's take away that amount from
yeah.
the, but I don't think that's right. I think we need to add that to it.
So
really you're looking at $35,000 to own your car over 5 years, and mine would be, you know, same thing, $35,000 or $34,000,
yeah,
over 5 years.
Well, I've reached the point of no return, Scott, unless this car breaks.
I mean,
I got to keep it.
There's you know what? We have another article about that we should talk about later.
We should talk
about that. But honestly, just to get it across one more time, that you're not looking at just the sticker price.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know what you can afford. And not to be preachy about this or anything, but I've fallen into this before where I want something that's a little bit more expensive than what I can afford. And I luckily, without this calculator, I realized I can't do that over the term of the loan. Because you look at the insurance costs that you mm-hmm. have to pay, you know, immediately the first month or whatever, and you say, oh my gosh, I can't afford that for 6 months even.
Yeah.
So you realize maybe that's not the car for me. I got to get the one with the smaller engine. Or I have to get, you know, the model year prior to that and go for a used car instead of a new car. Just use common sense when you're doing this.
And you can really see some surprising things here. This is from Consumer Reports. The Toyota Prius is one of the few hybrids that can save money. It costs about $7,500 more than a similar Chevy Cobalt,
mm-hmm.
but it costs almost $3,500 less over 5 years.
Oh, okay. So balanced out. A lot of that is a fuel cost. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Fuel cost balance. But we talked about that, remember?
We did. How much money do you really save?
How much do you drive?
And how much do you drive?
Exactly. So mm-hmm. I guess that varies by user, right? But that's significant, though, to find that out, that, you know, it can cost you less over 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting.
Yeah, but as I said, I've already made my decision. I'm in a committed relationship with a Monte Carlo man.
I know you are. Now, we've got in this article, in this lowest cost of ownership article that we have on our website.
Yeah,
there's a ton of examples in there. Mm-hmm. Everything from, you know, the smaller cars like, you know, the Nissan Versa and the Yaris and the Corolla and things like that.
You know,
the Aveo, all the way up to we've got some examples that are full size pickups. You know, SUVs, even like, you know, luxury convertibles, things like mm-hmm. that. So there's some good information there, and it will show you, you know, here's the MSRP. It's, you know, this range, and then here's really the cost of ownership, the average cost of ownership. And I think you'd be surprised to find out, you know, how significantly different that number is. And remember, you got to add that to whatever your purchase price is, really.
And if you have not checked this yet for your vehicle,
mm-hmm.
regardless of when you owned it, it's good research to do. It's relatively simple. And I think we're going to have to put our foot down on this one, Scott. If someone is about to buy a vehicle, I'm going to go ahead and call it, you need to check this out.
Yeah.
You need to.
I really think so. I mean, it will save you a lot of trouble. It may save you some heartache down the road when
mm-hmm.
you realize I can't make that insurance payment this month, or I can't, you know, and I'm not pointing my finger at anybody. I'm saying that I've fallen into this too, that not that it's happened, but I've been lucky to just spare myself that, because I figured out a couple things early, not even as detailed as this. And if I had known all of this,
mm-hmm.
Who knows, I would have made different purchases along the way as well.
I'm thinking of that, what's that song? If I Knew Now.
That's right.
If I knew then what I knew.
Yeah, I know. I mean, here I am. I'm sitting in traffic in my Honda Civic, and I'm looking at that, you know, the BMW. I'm
thinking,
oh, that would be nice, wouldn't it? And I'm thinking, well, it's not that much more. Maybe the payment would be a little bit more per month, but then what about these other six factors?
Oh, you know, shush, nonsense.
now that I know about this, it's like one of those things I just can't, I can't unsee it.
That reminds me, whatever happened to stuff Scott sees?
You know, it'll come back. I promise you, because I'm keeping notes.
All right. Well, while you're checking the notes, you want to do some listener mail?
Love to. All right. This letter comes to us from Sully from San Francisco. Mm. Okay. And Sully wrote in saying that during the Nuts and Bolts Part 2 podcast, which was a big hit, by the way. A lot of people wrote in about that one. They liked Part 1 and Part 2.
Glad to hear that.
I know. I think
that
we'll
was kind
that.
Of an experiment
we'll
for us.
We'll do that, I think, in the future. Just do some more of that. He wrote in about the vintage versus the new retro looks.
So the
hot rods, you know, well, street cars, I guess, from then and now. Mm-hmm. Okay, the ones that are similar, Mustang, Camaro, etc.
I call them the dynasties.
Yeah, the Challenger. Okay, so he says that he had something to add to this because he has some experience with the matter. 30 years ago, he owned a 1966 Mustang 2+2, driving it all through high school and college. He bought the car in Houston, Texas in 1978 for $900 and sold it in 1986 for $3,300.
Hmm.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Okay, so 20 years later, in 2005, he lives in San Francisco and he bought a new Mustang. In fact, he actually purchased it during his lunch hour one day. He said he went and just, you know, he saw that it was the first year for the pony car, you know, the retro look.
Yeah.
Went in, you know, went for a test drive, told the salesperson, "I'm not getting out of this car," when it was done with it.
Wow.
Said, you know, "I love it too much. It just felt too familiar," is what he said.
Yeah.
You know, even, you know, just based on what he remembers from his 66.
Mm-hmm.
So he at the time, he said he was driving 40 miles from in Silicon Valley from San Francisco, so 40 miles a day. So he selected the V6 automatic and the premium interior and exterior packages, everything, you know.
Bells and whistles.
Exactly, all the bells and whistles, right? Okay. Hands down, the 2005 Mustang is the better machine. He just says it outright.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, so this is a guy that has, you know, a lot of experience in the original and now the newer version of it, okay?
Why?
The reason is, he says, it's more comfortable, more reliable. The power driver's seat is infinitely adjustable. The controls are easy at hand. You know, the instrumentation is really clear and complete. Everything's power operated. There's a premium sound system with an iPod jack. And even though he doesn't need it very much in San Francisco, because he's from Texas, he says that the factory AC is really nice to have, because the 66 did not have that. Okay,
so I mean,
it's, these sound like, you know, simple things, but when you really think about it, it plays into the overall character of the car. You know, we both have a soft spot for vintage cars, though.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I don't want to discount somebody's love of a car. But despite the fact that the V6 displaces 100 fewer cubic inches than the old V8, this one feels quicker off the line and just outright faster and more stable at speed, of course.
Probably weighs less, too.
It, you know what? Probably does.
That's probably part of it.
It probably does. I don't know for sure. But he just says that, you know, of course, he gets 25 miles per gallon, which is, you know, far above what he got in the old V8. Exactly. And he says that handling is a world removed from the 66. So as you can imagine, it was, you know, loose and unpredictable. This one is, you know, tight and predictable.
Yeah, plus power steering.
Now, he does say that, you know, of course, he misses the 66, which I think anybody would. He says it'll always be his first love, but the 05 is the keeper, and, you know, he just wants to keep it that way. Even named it Francine.
So there we go. Thank you, Sully, and thanks, Francine.
I guess Sully and Francine.
You gotta thank both. Yeah, we should thank both.
Well, sure. I wonder if the first one had a name.
Probably.
Maybe.
We're glad to, we're always glad to hear from somebody who, likes their car, but I'm also, you know, I love hearing from people who are speaking from personal experience about something.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are probably a couple of listeners who are already dashing off to say something like, it's crazy. There's no replacing the original.
Sure.
The vintage vehicle.
Sure, I totally get that.
Yeah, I get it too, but I think it's two different sort of scales through which you evaluate these things.
Yeah, is one weekend car, is one a commuter car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'd be great to have, you know, a weekend car that's the original and then have a commuter car that is the newer version.
Sure.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yes. Would I do
of
it?
Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Haven't yet. I got my people on it, Scott.
You got people. I don't even have a person.
Well, the first thing I'm getting my people on is finding people.
Okay, got it.
And that people is me right now.
Understood.
But so what do you guys think about this idea, about total cost of ownership, about vintage versus new vehicles, about anything automotive related? We would like to hear you. You can send us a line on Facebook. You can meet up with us at Twitter, both of which are car stuff. Mm-hmm. But I also want to take a second to plug our brand new podcast page.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got a chance to look at that very recently.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool stuff. You know, can I make an admission?
Yeah.
I told you this yesterday.
Yeah, you told me.
This is terrible. There's a Who Said It questionnaire.
It's wickedly difficult.
Well, we've done it. We're getting close to 200 episodes here.
Sure. There's okay. A lot of stuff.
And, you know, it says, you know, who said this? And there's a quote from one of us. And I have to admit, I missed two.
You know, I have to admit, I have not taken it yet.
Ah, you're chicken.
I am chicken.
You're chicken.
I'm chicken.
I think you'll figure it out.
I'll try to take it. I'm sure I'll miss a few.
I missed a couple. I must have been misquoted.
Must have been. Right.
I never said that.
So, so do please check out our new podcast page on the site.
And there's a puzzle of us.
There's a puzzle of us.
I've never been in puzzle form.
Until now.
Yeah, well, there's a puzzle of us. That's kind of cool. And other podcasters as well. It's really it's a cool site.
Yeah, all of our podcasts now, our brother and sister podcasts, have new pages. But one thing is still the same, and that's our email address. So if you'd like to contact us with comments, restaurant suggestions, PG-13 limericks.
Yeah, sure.
PG limericks.
PG.
And
we do have spam filters.
Anything clever, and of course, keep in mind that we do pay more attention to emails about vehicles than our email address is.
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.